This is Dan from Karate Cafe, and you are listening to the Practical Defense Podcast.
Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I'm your host, Alex Haddix, and this is episode 276, Grows and Clandestine Drug Labs. Before we get into our topic for the month, I wanted to take a moment and share the topics on my other show, the Security Professionals Podcast. We've posted 5 episodes of that show so far, and they have been stellar. We kicked off with a Masad Ayoub interview on the topic of firearm selection. I also gave a lecture on provoking an attack. Now, that's a particularly important topic to anyone and everyone who's interested in self-defense. If you think you're in the clear just because the other guy threw the first punch, then you need to listen to that episode. The following 3 episodes are all parts of an interview with Dan Magnus, who shares his experiences when he worked for the U.S. Marshals in fugitive recovery in the 80s. That interview will blow your mind. Okay, so our topic this week is actually quite serious, and especially for those folks who enjoy our state and national parks and public lands. You could be out enjoying nature for camping, backpacking, hiking, or even hunting. Then you and possibly your family come around a bend and you're smack in the middle of a pod farm or a clandestine drug laboratory, you know, for example, a makeshift methamphetamine lab. More and more pot grows are appearing on public lands and even private lands across the entire country. It is big business, and the operations can be really sophisticated. In May 2014, the Ventura County Sheriff's Department, which is here, you know, where I am in Los Angeles, pulled a $201 million marijuana grow from the Los Padres National Forest. They confiscated 50,000 pot plants. There were between 6 and 8 farmers living on the land with the plants. They believe that the Mexican cartel was behind the operation. And here's another scary fact about that place. The grow was only 40 miles from my home here in the Los Angeles suburbs and 20 miles from my last wild boar hunt. Growers are very protective of their crops. Forest rangers, hikers, and campers have been threatened, shot, and killed for accidentally coming upon these grows. When people go missing in the wilderness and never return, drug runners are sometimes thought to be behind the disappearances. It's hard to tell for certain because the bodies are never found. Many sites have armed guards day and night. Ones that are unguarded are often booby-trapped. Plus, they often have harsh chemicals, dangerous pesticides, and poisons to keep wildlife away from the crops. The U.S. Forest Service has even published a booklet on what to do if you come across a grow. I'll read from that now. What to look for. In national forests, marijuana grow sites tend to be planted in areas where visitors are unlikely. Southern or western slopes are preferred, but grow sites can be found in any type of terrain or in any aspect. Sometimes grow sites are planted along roads or freeways on steep hillsides where brush and trees hide the marijuana plants. Forest Service employees working in the fields, or fighting fires, may enter areas where marijuana is being grown. The dangers of encountering marijuana growers or entering a grow site cannot be overemphasized. Be aware of your surroundings. Look for signs of human activity in isolated areas. If you suspect you may be near a marijuana grow site, be quiet and leave the area immediately. Do not go any farther. Signs of a marijuana grow site. Informal, unmarked hiking trails may be a sign that you're approaching a grow site. Other signs include PVC or plastic pipes, hose lines, drip irrigation lines, cisterns, gardening supplies, or gardening tools, containers for fertilizers, insecticides, and animal poisons, signs of established camping, cooking, or sleeping areas, structures in remote locations, trash or garbage in the remote locations, especially if the trash contains goods or other heavy items not common in the backcountry, propane bottles or tanks. Growers use propane to avoid smoke from campfires. Sights or sounds of human activity in remote forest areas. People sitting on cut banks or hillsides along forest roads. They may be growers waiting for food drops or supplies. Individuals with firearms when hunting seasons are closed. Pungent, strong odor. Marijuana plants can have a strong smell, especially on hot days. Signs of cultivation or soil disturbance in forested areas. Areas cleared of brush or timber, especially in isolated areas. Paper cups, chicken wire, or plastic sheets. These are often used for starting and protecting plants. And again, that was from the U.S. Forest Service. Now, the booklet actually has quite a few pages on this material, and I only read just a portion of it. The bottom line is that you want nothing to do with these places. Do not explore them. Do not take pictures, GPS coordinates, or anything. Just get you and your family out of there quickly and quietly. Report your sighting to local law enforcement when you're back in civilization. Don't call from your cell phone right there. Get out first, then make the call. One last anecdote before we close up. On my last wild boar hunt at Tejon Ranch in the Tehachapi Mountains, which is adjacent to the Los Padres National Forest, I asked our guide how often he and the other guides come across grows on the land. Tejon Ranch is huge, with over 270,000 acres, nearly all of which is undeveloped and managed by a conservancy. So the guide said that they find grows on their land a couple of times a year. When they find one, they notify local law enforcement, and in about a week, law enforcement sends out a helicopter to verify, and then they send a team in to clear it out. It is so common to him that it was not that big of a deal. That is how prevalent and bold these criminals are. So that will do it for this week. As always, you can follow my daily tips on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, I'm Practical Def, and Facebook is Practical Defense. If you're thinking about a career in private security in California or Arizona, we have fully accredited and fully online programs. We have the best material and the lowest prices. Visit our website at palladiumonlinesecurity.com for all of the details. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@practicaldefense.com. You can also leave us a voicemail on the Practical Defense tip or comment line at 805-203-6586. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe.
The legal aftermath of using a gun in self-defense can be traumatic and expensive. Get help and peace of mind through the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. Network members receive much-needed financial and legal support right after a self-defense incident. They also receive education in the form of DVDs from some of the top names in the business, along with having access to a nationwide pool of attorneys. Learn about membership at www.armedcitizensnetwork.org.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today.